Our hope is not in the red, white, and blue. Our hope is in the red. The sinless, spotless, shed blood of the Lamb of God's dear, the Lamb of God, God's dear Son. And for all today, you know, who think, and this is what so many think all around this country. Those who think that playing church, it's worth something, they're badly mistaken. And for all who think that submitting to the absolute lordship of Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life, if you think it's optional, you're badly mistaken. You don't bow to the Lord Jesus Christ looking back and looking around at what am I willing to give up or not give up. How far am I willing to go or how far I won't go. Oh no. That's not how it works. When you go to someone's house, you don't expect them to show you every room in the house. Some doors will be closed. Some rooms will be locked. It'll be private and off limits to just everybody. But when the Lord comes in, that's the end of your privacy. If you're His, sooner or later, you'll open every door and have nothing to hide from Him. He knows anyhow. Now, I didn't say you won't have anything to be ashamed of. We all do. And if you say you don't, you're bound to be lying. But I'm saying if you follow the Lord, you won't have anything to hide. Yesterday, Independence Day. You don't hear that term much anymore. When I was young, that's what it was called, Independence Day. In 1776, 239 years ago, we declared our independence as a nation. And it has meant something all these 239 years. The sad part, nowadays, so many have tried to declare independence of God. And it can never be. It can never be. But now they don't call it Independence Day. It's just the 4th of July. Just a time to shoot firecrackers and party. And people don't know or even care what it means. There's no respect for our forefathers. No remembrance of the wars fought, the blood shed. No honor for our past leaders and veterans, heroes, and even the military of our present day. I met a fine young man this morning in the Air Force. Spoke to him right out here. He asked us if he could leave that truck and car right here in the corner of the lot over the weekend. He'd just come out of Fayetteville. He's on his way to Ohio. He's in the military. And I thanked him for his service to our country. Fine young man seemed to be. But now it's just the 4th of July. That's all. Just a holiday, just a party day. So many don't know or even care that freedom isn't free. It might be free to us, but it costs so very much. In this passage we read here in John 8, there are two verses we read that speak clearly and beautifully of spiritual freedom. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And again, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And with these two verses, as they appear in the context of this passage, I want to just note four things I find here for a few minutes this morning. Number one is believing. What is it to believe? Is all believing genuine? Is all believing worth anything? Well, verse 30 said, as he spake these words, many believed on him. But what kind of belief was it? The word believe in the Bible can be very misunderstood. True believers, even ourselves, are sometimes full of unbelief. On the other hand, true unbelievers can sometimes demonstrate, at least from a mental standpoint, a measure of belief. And these had heard the Lord speak in verse 28 of his crucifixion at their hands. He said, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, he says, he's talking about the cross. When ye, not they, but he's charging these he's talking to. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. If you'll notice there, the he is in italics, meaning that it was added by the English translators. What Christ really said was, then shall ye know that I am. The great I am, same one who talked to Moses back in the book of Exodus, same one who led the Israelites out of Egypt and across the wilderness. I am is God in all his power and glory. He says some other things. Then in verse 30 he said, as he spake these words, many believed on him. It was a mental belief. How they believed, how much they believed, I don't know. But it was not a heart belief unto salvation. Because Christ would go on further in the chapter to tell these very ones who believed, you seek to kill me. Verse 40. If God were your father, you'd love me. Verse 42. Ye are of your father, the devil. Verse 44. Ye are not of God. Verse 47. So this belief he's talking about is not what we normally think about in believing. He says all these things to those who back in verse 30 believed on him. And he said all these things, verse 31, to those Jews which believed on him. So what kind of belief was it? It was a shallow, superficial, surface belief, insufficient. It was not the operation of God-given faith that really embraces Christ to the saving of the soul. But it was some kind of believing that we read. And that's why it's important to know what believing really is. Not only believing, but the second thought here, blindness. Blindness. When Christ makes this beautiful statement in verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They respond in verse 33 by saying, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Why are you talking to us about being free? We're Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. Now how very blinding, how very deceitful sinful depravity is. How defensive sinful flesh is. We could look back to the very first view of Israel as a nation, coming out of hard bondage in Egypt. They were slaves. And then coming through the Old Testament 7 times in the book of Judges. They fell prey to the Canaanites for numerous years of captivity and bondage, and God would raise up a judge. And then coming on through history, there was the 70 years in Babylon. They were in bondage, slavery again. And then right here, as the Lord Jesus spake these words to them, they were in bondage. They were burdened. They were bound under the cruel arm of Rome. How dare that they should say, we were never in bondage to any man. That would be as foolish as a working man saying, I've never gotten my hands dirty. Well, he ain't much of a working man. We were never in bondage to any man. So much of their history was bondage. So what a false statement that is. And it speaks of the deceitfulness of sinful depravity, which is present with all of us. We overlook the preciousness of this hour. We overlook the preciousness of the gospel of Christ. And men see the whole business as optional. Take it or leave it. Come to church or don't. Be diligent to live in a way that honors God or don't. Doesn't really matter. It's my business. Oh, no, dear friend. Oh, for a conviction that we would care. Sin and all the effects of it are so blinding, bringing such a spirit of apathy and unconcern in our day and hour, even among God's children. So many think, well, if I just go to church just about every time the doors are open, I'll be fine. But oh, the blinding of sin. And then the third thing here that I'd talk about a moment would be bondage. The awful bondage of sin. The Jews in this passage were blind to their bondage. And so is the human race as a whole in our generation. People don't realize that they're bound. They say, well, you know, I'm free to do as I please. And of course, false religion, Arminian religion all around this country has told them, you know, God's at your disposal. I mean, he's at your mercy. You can choose him or not choose him. And, you know, you can accept him or not accept him. It's in your power to do this or not do this. You're your own person. Do as, you know, you can do it. No. There is a bondage. The condition of the natural man is far worse than we imagine. Isaiah said the whole head is sick. Don't matter how full of information it is, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. The condition is so awful, Isaiah says. It's so sickening to God. It's as if somebody would come in here this morning to meet with us in public with big open sores all over their arms, oozing blood, and this very ugly and offensive and stinking, not even bandaged, not even covered, ugly, awful, a stench in the nostrils of God. Man can't see himself in bondage to sin. But God sees it. Peter says men cannot cease from sin. Paul said the natural man is in the snare of the devil, taken captive at his will. Ephesians 2:2 says, he walks according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And Colossians 1:13 refers to him as dominated by the power of darkness. These Jews our Lord is talking to, they denied their bondage. And they said, we were never in bondage to any man. Well, they were no worse off than people today who feel like and are being told that your destiny is your decision. And anytime you're ready, God is at your mercy. But it's the other way around. We're at God's mercy. And the sad truth is, most don't even sense their need of God's mercy. Well, I've been a pretty good person. You hadn't been that good. Well, I'm better than so-and-so, I know. Well, if so-and-so is going to hell, you're not much better than them. I wouldn't chance that. I wouldn't base anything on that. Bondage to sin. But the fourth thing is the blessedness of having been made free in Christ. He said back in chapter 3 that men loved darkness rather than light. And that's just a fact. It is such a condition as requires God's purposeful and active and diligent invasion of our wills and our hearts. Note the terminology in verse 36. It's not if the Son allow you to go free. In other words, he just opens the prison door and you walk out. No, you wouldn't walk out. There's something in here. This sinful nature loves sin like a hog loves slop. And you're not ready to do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. Can't just walk out. But what he says, if the Son therefore make you free. Salvation involves God's making. Christ was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God, or the righteousness which God requires in him. Ephesians 1:6, we were made accepted in the beloved. You didn't do anything to get accepted in the beloved. You were made by him on the cross, accepted in the beloved. By the disobedience of one, Paul said, we were made sinners. And by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, were many made righteous. None of us were born free. We were born in slavery to sin. And contrary to popular religion, none of us have broken free. We don't have the power to break free. Oh no. But God's children are made free in his Son. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It's a problem with our nature. Many years ago, our former pastor, Preacher Huntley, he had horses. And his barn caught fire. I can remember this. And his face was burned in effort to rescue them. 7 horses, I believe it was. It was a very traumatic experience for him. And the nature of a horse could not do the right thing. It wasn't a matter of just opening the doors of the stalls and let them run out. They wouldn't run out. But in fear, those horses just backed up to the back of the stall, pressing against the corner. They wouldn't come out. Even with all the doors open. And Preacher Huntley was burned pretty much on his face and other parts of his body going in trying to pull the horses out. He was unsuccessful. The barn burned to the ground with the horses inside. And such is the bondage of sinful humanity. To open the door is not enough. God has to come in, pull us out. He has to make us free. He has to conquer this stubborn will, this sinful heart. There's a little more to it than some sissified preacher saying, "Won't you accept Jesus today?" "Why, no, I don't believe I will. Maybe later." That's the answer. But Christ makes men free. Has he come your way? Mm-mm. Aren't you glad for the hour when the Holy Spirit took hold of your heart, brought great conviction of sin, made you feel lower than a dog, lower than a skunk? And we were, and by nature are. Men do things dogs don't do. The Spirit of God brought us to that nothingness, to that worthlessness. Brought great conviction of sin. And then pointed us to the cross, where his Son hung and bled and died. And took your place. And he said, "There's your answer. There's your answer." And so today, we look back to that cross. And we sing, "Oh, happy day, happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away." Not when I made that decision, but no, he did the redeeming work then. It's this matter of faith that she sang in One Pair of Hands. One Pair of Hands. Yes, put all your eggs in one basket. His basket. That one pair of hands. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by the grace, by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Are you free this morning? Oh, I know you can come and go as you please. You can go to the store. You can go to town. But are you free in your heart? Are you free, as the old song says, from the burden of sin? Do you even want to be free? If you don't, may God have mercy on your soul. There's but one place to look, the bleeding lamb, and trust him that what he did satisfied God for your sin once and forever. There is salvation in no other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And all these other religions, all these cults, all these Eastern religions and heathen religions, they won't have that verse. But I believe it's Acts 4:12. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. The old song said, "You've no other friend or brother." Tell it to Jesus alone. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you for you being here today.